News Radio KMAN. Good morning. It's now 7:03. I'm Dave Lewis at the KMAN studios on a beautiful Saturday morning, and it's time for our daily COVID-19 update. And today, joining us on the phone is the president and CEO of Meadowlark Hills, Lonnie Baker. Lonnie, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Thanks for joining us here this morning. And, you know, I would imagine that when morning comes at Meadowlark Hills, you've got a bunch of spry residents that want to get up and see that sunrise. And having a beautiful sunrise this morning is, that goes a long way to curing a lot of ills, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does. You know, getting into springtime, all of us are wanting to get out more, and there's not much better than a sunrise across the Flint Hills.
Yeah, we have some beautiful ones. And just kind of bringing listeners up to date to the report yesterday from the Kansas Department of Health and Environment listed 1,705 cases. That was up over 100 from the Thursday report, 84 deaths, and there are still almost 40 Kansas counties that have yet to have had a COVID positive 19 report, and most of those over in the western portion of Kansas. But Lonnie, one of the things that we want to talk about is the impact that the COVID-19 and the battle against it, and how that's impacted staff and well, residents and staff, as well as operations at Meadowlark Hills. And you've got such a vulnerable population there at Meadowlark Hills, and you've had to take quite a few steps in order to make sure that COVID-19 doesn't become a problem there. So let's talk a little bit about first residents and how they're handling this situation, especially considering that, you know, they don't get to see anybody outside that doesn't live or work at the Meadowlark campus.
Yeah, Dave, so far it's actually been pretty smooth. You know, with isolation, every day that goes by, it gets a little bit more challenging. But residents have been incredibly appreciative. Certainly life isn't what it normally is at Meadowlark. You know, you think about lifestyle when you think about living at Meadowlark. And we're used to throwing a lot of parties and people getting together, and it's all about socialization and interaction, and that has certainly slowed down. We've managed to stem the effect of that to some degree through the internal television station. Sarah Duggan does a news report. Chris Nelson, our CFO, does a weekly comedy bit. Jeff Eidbreder has set up some home exercise programs, and that plays on the TV. We try to make as much contact via technology as we can with residents, but certainly it's not the same as it usually is.
What kind of technological advancements have you utilized here most recently in helping your residents?
Yeah, so actually in part of the preparation plan, we worked with a lot of residents just to make sure that the technology was there. So whether that was through a Zoom meeting or just through Apple products, making sure that people were pretty well set up and ready to interact with family and our staff. And in our healthcare houses, we actually have we just set up devices ready to go. So any resident that wants to reach out to family members, we can just take in an iPad and get them connected.
I bet that that's an important part of each and every day for a resident.
It is. Certainly staying in touch with family and friends is really important. One of the things that helps is, so Meadowlark years ago was kind of subdivided. So we broke ourselves up into small houses, and you have consistent staff and consistent relationships then. So the staff that work in any one house in Meadowlark, it's a fairly small group. And so there's really tight bonds that exist there. So those daily interactions between staff and residents, it's a lot more than just a job. It's really people that care about one another. That's certainly playing out to help in this situation.
In your community there, Meadowlark Hills, it's difficult to get on the Meadowlark Hills campus. You've got screening guards at your entrance. It's off of Tuttle Creek Boulevard. Your Kimball entrance is closed right now. And have you had quite a bit of cooperation for folks that, I suppose especially, vendors and staff are the ones that utilize that access mostly now?
It is, and that's pretty much all that we're down to. And, yeah, people have been terrific. Early on, nobody knew what to think of this virus and how much risk it really posed. And there's been some pushback across the country about how deadly is it really. What we're certainly seeing, though, is validation for the concern around senior living. The last I saw yesterday, there were roughly 37,000 deaths in the United States. Of that, 7,000 of those were in senior living facilities. And that's just an incredibly large number. And so I think that as people have come to understand the risk that this poses to the people that live at Metalark, cooperation has come along a lot more freely.
I think one of the most challenging situations that we've had to report on with the coronavirus is that rehabilitation facility up in Wyandotte County in the Kansas City, Kansas area, where they've had, over 100 of reports of the COVID-19 virus, and they've had, a little over a couple of dozen deaths so far on that campus, and that's extremely alarming. And as to the best of my knowledge, you haven't had a positive COVID-19 test at Metalark Hills.
No, we've been fortunate. None of our residents have tested positive. We've had a few people that have developed respiratory symptoms. And, thankfully, we're kind of coming out of the regular flu season here. Otherwise, we would have a lot of individuals that we were concerned about, and they'd be in isolation until we got test results back.
I suppose allergies would be a problem, too.
It certainly is, yeah.
Yeah.
And within our population, we want to test very aggressively. So a person on the street that might have a low-grade fever or just some mild respiratory symptoms that might not get tested, certainly in senior living, you want to go ahead and test those individuals just because of the risk that it poses for others.
Any particular message that you'd like to pass along to the families of your residents this morning?
Oh, we just very much appreciate all their support. We know these are really, really tough times for everybody, and we're gonna do everything that we can to get back to some type of new normal just as quickly as we can.
Do you have any heartwarming experiences to share?
Oh, we get to see them every day.
And that'd probably be just in the smiles of your residents, wouldn't it?
Oh, it is. Truly, how people come together in these difficult times is just, it's amazing. Within these healthcare houses, how the staff have just doubled down on their engagement with our residents and how they spend time together. And there's more one-on-one, and you get to see the best in people in times like this.
There are a lot of folks, that basically, we still have yet to see the apex of this coronavirus scare. When this is all kind of past us, and hopefully, this can happen sooner than later, what kind of lessons, what kind of new technologies, new advancements in care do you foresee being a regular staple at a facility like yours, where your population is all retired and people that have some health challenges?
That's a wonderful question. We've actually been talking about that in this last week. So as we made it to the point that planning was in place, education was in place, we've been afforded some time to look to the future. And as we look at each one of these things that we've implemented, we ask the question, what do we take away? And the first reaction is, well, nothing. We're still nervous about this thing making it to the campus. So I think that some standards that'll take place, we'll probably do more masking for a significant period of time. How we look at isolation measures, staff screening, I think that we're going to see some great technology around that. It's been a pretty tough process just to be able to manage every individual coming in and out on every single day. We have about 500 employees at Metalark. So those things, I think, are coming. There's been some robotics out there that are sanitizing machines, UV light, that might become more common. But we're certainly going to see the landscape change a little bit.
Well, you certainly have a lot of heroes that are doing the work that they do on a daily basis, and I know that there's a lot of families, and not to mention the residents, that are quite grateful for the individual efforts that that you're seeing from your staff. And Lonnie Baker, we certainly appreciate you calling in this morning and giving us an update from the elderly population perspective, and I know that that's an important part of the fabric here in our community. So we thank you for joining us, and look forward to, you know, hopefully continued good news and some healthy, happy individuals up at Meadowlark Hills.
Thank you, Dave.
That's our COVID-19 update here on News Radio KMAN. We will have more information at 5 o'clock and then again tomorrow as well. We've been doing these COVID-19 updates on a daily basis and getting to speak in the morning typically with health professionals and then some emergency officials in the afternoon. So we get a lot of information that we are able to share, and we will continue to do so likely until the apex of the COVID-19 threat has been reached. I'm Dave Lewis, News Radio KMAN.